Hi, I'm Laura Alanis with the Girls Empowerment Network. Thank you for joining us today for Generate, an adult educational networking group dedicated to exploring issues that affect women and girls. Up next, we have Gary Farmer to introduce Kerry Tate, his longtime friend and colleague.
At a girls group, and then I said, never mind, I have one wife, three daughters, and two girl dogs, I understand. And by the way, let me say, thanks for what you do. As the father of three daughters, what you do is important, and I can speak with firsthand knowledge about that. So thank you. Dads have hopes, dreams, and aspirations for their daughters, and so every time that an obstacle is removed, or a barrier is broken, dad celebrate. So we thank you for that. We thank you for what you do. Okay, Ms. Tate. Kerry Tate's a former CEO and president of a public relations firm. I think you all know that. Tate Austin, now Tate Austin Hahn. As a public relations powerhouse and expert, Kerry has helped create brands for a wide range of clients, government agencies, to technology companies, to national name brands, so on and so forth. She has been a leader in this community. She's led the Greater Austin Chamber. She's in the process of leading the Austin Community Foundation, Leadership Austin, United Way Capital Area, and it goes on and on and on. Arrow, Seton Cove. I mean, what phenomenal work Kerry Tate has done with, in, and for this community. And we should all thank you, Kerry, for that. You didn't know, she's a lumberjack. Kerry graduated from Stephen F. Austin in Nacogdoches, and she has been appropriately recognized as their distinguished young alumni at Stephen F. Austin. Currently, Kerry is focusing on a group venture called Civic Interest. That's the introduction from the paper. Kerry Tate is really a unique and special person in this community. She is a small town girl with big city ideas. She is a leader, a mentor. She's a not just a leader, she's a thought leader. And she's a change agent. Kerry Tate, I want you to know, is a change agent. She helps governors and senators and people in high places, and she's just as quick to help the common guy or gal on the street. This I know from experience. Kerry, let me say this. If you don't want to know what she thinks, you better not ask her. Because she will tell you the unvarnished truth. She can make you rise up as if on the wings of eagles and make you want to crawl under a rock all in the same conversation. But she always does it nicely and pleasantly. Kerry and I have agreed more often than we've disagreed, but anytime we've disagreed, we have never been disagreeable. The greatest thing that I can say about Kerry is that for 15 years, she has been a treasure to me because she has been my friend. So please welcome my friend, Kerry Tate.
Oh, dear.
Morning. Thank you, Gary Farmer. Can you imagine Gary Farmer and I going to New York and LA together, recruiting new businesses for Austin, sounding the way we sound? We don't have to tell them where we're from. I talk with my hands, so having a microphone in one of them is going to be a treat. I'm very flattered and honored that you all would ask me to be here. And I love what Jen Austin does. I wish that there had been a Jen Austin where I grew up, but no chance of that, Gary Farmer. I do have a confession, and I have to come clean about it. Mary Ben Ramsey, and if you haven't tried to communicate with Mary Ben, especially with Mary Ben and me, we talk in shorthand, and nobody has a clue what we're saying. She calls up 3 months ago and says, Carrie, will you speak to Jen Austin? Sure, yeah, when, okay, right. And we hang up, and a date goes on the calendar, and I didn't think much about it again until about 3 weeks ago, and I began to prepare and think about what am I going to talk to teenage girls about. I thought you were going to be teenagers. And I got so nervous because I know enough about myself. I have enough self-awareness to know that I am not cool to teenagers at all. And so I got really nervous and I started talking to my 20-year-old interns at the office, and I started asking my friends that have teenage daughters, like, what are they into right now? What kind of brands do they like? What kind of brands are they wearing? What's going on in their life? Because I, by gum, was not going to embarrass myself in front of teenage girls by being just, you know, a fat, chubby, middle-aged dork. I was going to know what they were into. I found out day before yesterday I got so into it that I found out that they're releasing the Hannah Montana movie today. And when I found out what the theme of it was from a friend of mine that has teenagers, I quote, "It's about having to look at your life and decide what you really want and who you want to be, even if you think you have it all from a conventional perspective." I thought, how perfect is that? The day the movie is being released, and I'm going to get to talk about exactly what it's about, branding yourself. How cool is that? And you don't get to hear it. I grew up listening to storytellers in East Texas. In fact, people that sound a whole lot like Gary Farmer. And I've been trying to tell somebody else's story ever since, which is really what branding is all about. And eventually, this will all come back. It will seem like I'll take several rabbit trails, but it does come back to a point, I hope. I think in the branding and PR business, it's really more a matter of being in the identity business, where we spend lots of time and somebody else's money trying to establish an identity and to position a brand and to help build reputations, living up to your brand and living up to your identity. But we spend a lot of time at that for people and for places and for things. And that's typically where you use the term brand. So forgive me, I know you're not a product, and I know you're not an object. In fact, that is what we're trying to teach the teen girls. But you are a human being. So when I say brand, it is not an insult, because it is a brand. Brand is typically used on things. I would say identity and positioning and reputation are terms that are typically used on humans. So when I say brand, just fill in the blank with whatever word you like, position, identity, whatever you think is appropriate to you. In part of this branding, I want you to explore with me. And I know you've got to be thinking as a grown-up well on your way beyond your teen years. You got to wonder, why bother? Why does it matter? Why do I need to work on this identity thing? I mean, I'm already fully formed. I'm already who I'm going to be. Do I really have to think about image and identity? And I don't mean image in terms of the cosmetic. I mean image in terms of the core identity of who we are. But for each of us, I think you have to decide whether it matters to you or not, for your own reasons, for your own purposes. But for me, stumbling into my own brand identity has had a hand in me finding meaningful work. It's had a great hand in finding good clients and great colleagues. It's meant the world to me in my civic life. How else, unless I needed title work, would I have met people like Gary and many of the civic leaders, like Bob and other people that, you know, the boys here, that I may have met you in many of the circles I would be in, but for my own brand positioning and my zeal for community life, that may never have happened had I not understood what it was that aligned with what who I am and what I like to do. It's worked to distinguish our clients in a very crowded and cluttered marketplace. And candidly, and I say it modestly, it's helped to distinguish our firm as being different from another firm. And we all are trying to work on distinguishing that so that we can break through the clutter. It's helped me find myself, my own voice, and my own place in the community. And I think taking the time to know who you are and what your positioning is to make sure that we stay loyal and faithful to ourselves. In looking at the things that I loved most about my work, I just took that into the new venture, which is Civic Interest. And Civic Interest is a base camp for civic projects and civic-minded people. A good brand person would be able to give you that and tell you what the strategies are and what the goals are and what the metrics are, and that is exactly what I'm trying to outrun. We don't exactly know where it's headed, but there are 12 people that have come to it, and we are quietly working on some things that we think build a better Austin. And we're not trying to raise any money doing it or necessarily raising visibility. We're just trying to make some very good things happen in the community like many of you are trying to do. Civic Interest will be a landing pad for me as I transition out of the profession that I'm in. I've promised Jeff Hahn I will step aside and be his friend and his guide when he wants it and not in his way when he doesn't want it. But I will stay in the building as a part of Civic Interest, and we're gathering good folks that know a lot of different things, accounting, legal, nonprofit, executive or two. Lee Thompson is there, David Balch, Betty Dunkerley, Bobby Barker, some great folks. And I don't really know where it's going, but I figure if you put those people in the room, good things will happen. I'm going to tell you a story, and it was about when Gary Farmer and Mike Rollins, the head of the chamber, and Senator Kirk Watson were in a room, and I had been assigned to brand Austin. And a lot of people have tried to do that before, but it was to brand Austin for those people who don't live here for economic development. And I had such a good time because, to your question, we came in with some of the outtakes and tried to make these guys think we were serious. So we set the stage. We came up with all the, you know, rationale and the data and the research and all that. And then we started flipping up the boards. And the first one that came up was Austin, all except for August. The client, now Gary has a sense of humor and so does Kirk Watson, but Rollins really doesn't. And he's the one that was writing the checks, and God, he was nervous. So we come up with the next one, and it was, Austin, you'll get it when you get here. But finally, we landed on Austin, the human capital, and I don't know, Gary, has it served us well?
Very good.
So what do? I usually try to get a focus group together and try to convince the client that it's not in my opinion or the opinion of the experts. It's really in the opinion of their target audience. If they embrace it, if it's resonant with them, they should accept it. If it's a good brand, it will. If it's a bad brand, it won't. And they've kind of had to face down. They have to stare at the face of the people that would be their customers but for a bad brand. Celia? Well, maybe so. I have had a lot of people show up lately. Did y'all hear the questions about people losing their jobs and their work right now? How this, you know, finding who you are kind of fits into that, because you're shaken by that, and you have to rethink and articulate who you are to move forward as you search for new work. I hadn't thought about that, Celia, but it's probably accurate. Anne, do you have an answer to that?
Oh, my God, I was thinking about my own question.
I love you, Ann Daly. I love you. I love you for being honest. I think I can always answer questions with a story, which is maddening. But Pat Hayes, my friend, was leaving as president of St. Edward's University, and she was not knowing what she was going to do next. And she came to six of us told us that she was confidentially preparing to leave, and she was able, after this same kind of search of self, articulate what her strengths were, and had to make a point with each of us is, I am not wanting you to think of me as an academic or a president of higher ed. I want you to think much more broadly, and where would these characteristics, these five things, apply? And forced all of us. I even called her, Gary, and said, I think you should do property management for Trammell Crow. That's a long story. But try to think way outside the box. These are the things that you're good at. Just be able to be clear about that, because they could apply to things you would never dream. The other thing I believe strongly right now, at least in our field, is you have to run toward where there's trouble. The opportunities right now are in places where there's turmoil and where there's change, in healthcare, in transportation, in financial markets, in our educational system. Run toward that. That's where opportunities are going to come up. That's where there's turnover. That's where people will be hired. And so run toward the trouble, not away from it. I think that's where you, if you know who you are, that's where you can find meaningful work. Well, I mean, we all find the audience or the environment or the friend or the therapist to do that, I guess. But for me, I just went away on the leadership pilgrimage because I was trying to grow up to be better. I didn't really go there seeking change, but what happened, because I opened myself up to just thinking about work, this is an excellent process. Flint Sparks and Patty Spire do it. It's finding the right work, finding the right relationship, finding the right self, and how that fits into community. What happened was, I just made myself open to that, to see what I would discover. And at that time, I did not know that change was imminent. It was by being in it that I discovered that I probably had a good 3 to 5 years left in me. And if I stayed any longer to that, I'd probably kill it. I'd just kill it for lack of love. I'd just kill it for lack of passion. It just wasn't going to charge my batteries anymore. And anyway, 30 years is enough. I've been doing this since I'm 23. I'm 54. Enough already. Take that and the stuff that I know out of that and just throw myself out there and say, I wonder where else that would apply. But I didn't go searching for the answer. I will have to tell you, the answer found me. And I left that experience saying, you know, 3 to 5 years, that's a good time to plan and prepare for transition. It's not a knee-jerk thing. I'm going to hope that something comes along and makes that possible for me. But be careful what you wish for. Having an intention out there, I never dreamed, and I don't mean to become, you know, a preacher here, but just putting an intention like that out there after I went through the Seton Cove pilgrimage with great guides and coaches. And by the way, it's not scary. It's actually very interesting and fun. I never dreamed it. that I left there in July, and in August, I had two offers to buy Tate Austin. It wasn't even up for sale. One was the largest PR firm in the world, and one was the guy sitting at the desk next to me. And the deals were very different, but I loved selling it to the guy sitting next to me. And what all transpired that made it possible for him to do that, I would just say it was felt providential. What I was most proud of about the firm was I think we're pretty good at what we do, but what I really loved about it was our place in this place and how we care about it. And who in the world was going to care about that? It wasn't the global conglomerate. It was the guy I sold it to, and he cares about it just as much, if not more, than me. I'm so happy about that. I am tickled pink. And he's better at doing this than I was. Better at it. So I just think it was meant to be. So it found me. I didn't go and search. I'm not smart enough to even know the right questions to ask. Farmer can tell you that. I think the right question found me, and then I knew I had to answer it or find answers to it. And, you know, 30 years of it's enough. I need to spend the next 30 doing something different. Now, I don't have a very good memory. I have a great memory for stories, but I don't have a great memory for specifics. But I will tell you, in the last 20 years, the thing I have loved the most, the client, the positioning, the branding I've loved the most, has been the redevelopment of Miller Airport. It's 700 acres in the middle of one of the greatest cities in this country. And to be in a public-private venture where you can do what we're able to do there, because it's public-private, with a private developer that cares and a public sector willing to wait. Oh, man. If you haven't been out there, go. It is fantastic. And to work on that, every little grainy detail of it all this time, that's just been great. And so the positioning of Miller as right for Austin has done it for me. And I'll tell you, we worked at it really hard. Now, some people would say, how hard did you work? It's named Miller. What kind of branding is that? But there was actually some thought that went into that. Care about tradition, where we came from. Every street out there at Miller is named after someone in history that was a first in Austin at something. First African-American doctor, first filmmaker, first female law school graduate. You know, that rootedness to put something that new smack dab in the middle of the city and anchor it down and make it hold strong, that was fun. That was great fun. Because, frankly, I'd rather work on stuff here than somewhere else. I just dig Austin. Austin's in the middle name of my company. It's my partner. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Generate, a program of the Girls Empowerment Network. Our mission is to foster healthy self-esteem in girls by engaging them to explore and define their personal values and to build skills that empower them with confidence and courage to make wise choices. To find out how you can support programming for Central Texas girls, please visit us online at genaustin.org. That's genaustin.org.